starting over here, Yeshaya Perek Yud Aleph. We're going to talk about Mashiach now and what's going to be during that time. Now again, this is going to be pretty much the last part of this.
Did you write in this because you went ahead?
Yeah, I'm waiting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm good. Don't worry. We're a little bit ahead over here. I'm about five or six chapters ahead. We're going to see that there's a lot of nations that are going to be involved now. Yeshaya, Nechemiah had asked me last time, like, well, what's the point of Yeshaya? Like, what are we getting at over here? So Yeshaya has three different parts. One is the impending destruction of Sennacherib, both for Malchus Yisrael and what was going to be in Yehuda until Chizkiah was able to come up. The second part of Yeshaya is always dealing with some type of Mashiach issue. What's going to be when Mashiach comes? You've already seen one little piece before, right? In Perek Tes.
Why is
we're getting
Yishai
to Mashiach again?
Yeshaya lives in the time of Asher. The first Mashiach is not even yet
because of what the Gemara says. Because Sennacherib could have been Gog Magog, Chizkiah could have been Mashiach. Possibly, if Chizkiah does correctly, this is what it's going to be like. And even during the times, even though the full Mashiach had not been there, nonetheless, a form of Mashiach was there. But by Chizkiah's time, it was unbelievably peaceful after Sennacherib was gone. Now, granted, there was only 15 years of Chizkiah's life, but during those 15 years, it was amazing, absolutely amazing.
So you have Chizkiah, and then you have Bar Kokhba. Like, who are the possible Mashiach?
No, Chizkiah is the only one that's mentioned by Chazal. Bar Kokhba is the one that Rabbi Akiva claims could have been based on the Yerushalmi Trumas. But no, that's the only real one where he had Yashka. I mean, come on, you have the top of this. Listen, the honest truth is that there's always a possibility of Mashiach in every generation, right?
They weren't starting to go through like a bunch of people.
I mean, they all say if it's in our generation, it would be like Rebellion. It's going to be, etc. There's always that possibility.
Like everyone's just saying they're
going to be for themselves. That was themselves. That they all do because they all say his name is Yinon. That was Rabbi Yanai who said that. His name is Menachem. That was Menachem Rabbi Dustoy that said that. They said their own name. It was an amazing thing
in
of itself.
Part three?
Part three is going to be all of his prophecies of the other nations. How they're going to be destroyed. I mean, we're going to see Ammon, Moab, Bavel, etc. Ashur. We're going to see how everyone, we've seen a little bit of Ashur. We just saw that last week. But we're going to talk about every nation. And he is the only Nabi to have really been among the other nations and really speak to them more than anybody else. Obadiah, because Obadiah was part of Edom, Obadiah went back to Edom to speak about them. But Yeshaya is going to speak about Obadiah was a Ger Tzedek. So he was part of Edom, so therefore he's a Ger from Edom, so he came along. But he's going to be the one, Yeshaya is going to be the one that speaks to every nation and tells them, here's what's going to be by you. So let's see over here. Parak Yidal. The Yatzach Chotem Yigezi Yishai, Venetim Yisharosh of Yifret. Right? A branch is going to come out from the stump of Yishai, and a sprout, meaning a little thing that's going to grow, will come out from the roots. They'll come up right over here. Okay. So after we have that, we say, Ashur had amazing amounts of gaiva. They thought that they were the greatest people in the world and there was nobody like them whatsoever. Mashiach will not come until all the gaiva is knocked down. That's going to be the thing behind it. Now, those exiles that are going to be returned by the times of Mashiach are only going to come, there is hope for them, but they're only going to come when they break their pride. Meaning, showing what happened to Ashur should allow them to say to themselves, you know what, we were too proud. We should have believed in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we should have been as well. And therefore, this whole message is really for everybody. It wasn't just for the Davidic exile later on. It really is for the Yisraelic exile, that they also can come back if they think about it and they really want to come inside. That's the idea behind it. Now, King Chizkiah, he was the one who was able to witness the great miracle of what happened. It could have ushered in the Messianic Age. It really could have brought about something that would have been great. But I don't want to say he didn't humble himself. We're talking about Chizkiah after all, right? But there was something that he was missing that did not allow Mashiach to come through him. And that was the problem, that was the issue that was around. Now, Pasuk Beis. This is a famous line.
He even got rid of the bum.
No question. All the learning. Everybody there knew Tumah Tahara. You can't say that he didn't have, but there was something that he was lacking. And then in Pasuk Beis, Nachal of Ruach Hashem, the famous line, and there's a song from this, the Ruach Hashem will go upon this man of Mashiach. Ruach Chokhmah Ubina, Ruach Eitza Ugvur, Ruach Das V'Yiras Hashem. He'll have Chokhmah and Bina. The difference between those two is very simple. Chokhmah and Bina is the male type of wisdom, which would be Chokhmah, and Bina, which is the feminine type of wisdom. Both types of Chokhmah and Bina will be found by the man of Mashiach, but he'll have both aspects of it. Eitza Ugvura, he'll have advice to be able to give to people, which will be almost as if to give in to what other people need, as well as Gvura's strength to be able to do things. Das, in Yiras Hashem, is he'll have the hargushas, the feelings, the ability of knowledge of what to do in every given situation, as well as Yiras Hashem, all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not thinking that it's all himself. Yes.
That's almost except for the last part, almost like Shlomo.
Everything could describe Shlomo, because Shlomo
didn't have
a type of person who was like the Mashiach.
No, but with all the wives and all that kind of stuff, he really didn't have the Das and Yiras Hashem aspect settled.
It's hard to say. Das he definitely had. The Yiras Hashem, I don't know how you say it about Shlomo, but yes, there was something.
He said it about himself.
There was something about that missing as well. Yeah.
Koelis.
But he didn't have Yiras Hashem?
I mean, that he messed up. Why did he mess up? Because of,
He found all those things. It is amazing going through Koelis. We're doing that now on Mondays. Amazing stuff in Koelis. Awesome. It's unbelievable how he's able to knock himself down like that. That is true. Spiritually and physically, right? He was lacking. This man will be expert in everything. There is nothing missing. The Hariko Yiras Hashem. And here's the pshat. He's literally going to smell Yiras Hashem among people. He no longer will judge in the way that other people judge. He will look at a person and smell what the person is. It literally, the reason why smell, says the Maharal, is because it's a spiritual undertaking, something that we don't understand. Smell is something that has no physicality at all, as opposed to all our other senses.
It's like the big tzaddikim and kubalim who see a guy and they get out. And
yes,
talking to
100%
angels
saying that, get out of here. What do you mean technically not
technically
true?
Technically it's not. It's particles. Smell is really taste.
Okay, I get what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. But in other words, it's not the same as even hearing something with the vibrations have actual physicality to them. Sight, obviously, and your mouth eating and being able to come out with something. There's something you can come out with. He will be able to do it. Lola Marina, he spoke. It's not by what he sees that he'll judge. And not by what he hears will he be able to reprove. The famous line is by the Noda Beuda, Rabbi Chutzko Landau. The Noda Beuda had famous fights with the Baal Shem Tov, and the Baal Shem Tov came out. So Baal Shem Tov used to be able to tell if a chicken was kosher or treif just by looking at the animal and seeing whether it was tummy or tahor. And he used to paskin on the animal without doing that. So Rabbi Chutzko Landau heard about that. And he sent a message over to Baal Shem Tov and says that at first I said to myself that the only person who could do that is Mashiach, Barichol Piras Hashem. Right? That's the only person that I thought that was going to be the person to be able to do that. But then I realized that in Ikvah Siddur Mashiach, in the years leading up to Mashiach, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Chokma will be Sara, that nobody will have any Chokma, and they'll have to guess on what they're doing. So you're guessing. It's good. It's close enough. That was the Noda Yehuda saying it's the Baal Shem Tov. Not too many people were able to say it. The Baal Shem Tov did say about the Noda Yehuda that he was the only neshama in that generation that was a new neshama that was not a Gilgal. That's what he said about the Noda Yehuda. I don't know if that was an insult or not, but I have absolutely no idea. Regardless, I'm not sure. I would assume it is.
I heard Rabbi Rock speaking about neshamas, and he was talking about Rabbi Rabbi Yosef that he must have had some sort of like
a special.
Maybe he was one of the few that were left.
That's amazing. But Mashiach will not be fooled by masks. Nothing. He won't need proofs. Nothing. There is no mask that you can take in front of Mashiach that he will be fooled by. Whoever you are on the inside, that's who you are to Mashiach. The Shavah B'Tzedek Dalin, he will judge righteously the poor, all those who are humble of the land, he's going to knock them down straight in a straight way. He'll make sure. He's going to knock down the land with the rod of his mouth, literally just by saying something. Right? Through his just stop. What he says, people will die. Rishayim will die. That's what's going to be. Now remember, guys, even in the times of Mashiach, there will be death. There's no such thing. Even in the times of Mashiach, there still is going to be death. It's not going to be the same. People will live longer. But in the days of Mashiach, people will still die. Eventually, that will come in. But in the times of Mashiach, most Mashiach is different from Tzias Mitzvah. Every, you know, we say, in Kerech HaShem, Elokeinu B'Olam HaZeh, Ein Zuhal Sama Kenu Chayolam Haba, Epes Bilt Goalim Luz Mashiach, Ein Dom Elokeinu HaShem, we share the Shabbat day. They're different from one another. But yet, Tzedek Ezor, justice will be his belt on Masnav, on his loins. But Amuna Ezor Chalatzav, and the truthfulness, faith, I guess you can say, is going to be also girding his loins. Again, it's going to be as if, literally, that it's a part of him. Just righteousness and tzidkus will be as if he's just wearing a belt. That's going to be a part of him where he can't take it off. He literally cannot take it off. It's all a part of him. The Gor is the Eved Keves. And here's the famous nevuah that everyone knows. At that moment, the wolf will sit down with the lamb. Numerim Gidi, the leopard with the goat. Your butts, they'll lie down together. Egel, Kfiru, Mari, Yachtov, the calf, and the young lion, and the fattened sheep will all sit together. And Narkaton, Noig, Bum, and a young child will be able to lead them. And this idea of, this is like Gan Eden. There was no such thing as a cruel, flesh-eating creature in Gan Eden. Meaning, at the time when there was perfection, there were plants, there were fruits, there was whatever it is that gave enough protein that you no longer needed to eat meat. Even the carnivores would not need to eat meat. So in the future, it's going to be that way as well. I spoke about this before, and I've said, I don't know what that means for the teeth of the animals. We all know that herbivores all have flattened teeth like your molars, right? Carnivores have sharpened teeth like your canines.
Unless, you know, I was thinking about it. Maybe it's that their teeth are different. What if there was fruits and vegetables that we don't know about or that existed back then that were meaty like that?
That were meatier. That's not bad. We had something like that. Whatever it was, somehow, I don't know what's going to be with their teeth or whatever it is. Will they change or anything like that? But that's a great idea. Like, you have something like that. But that's the point. The animals are going to change their nature from what they are to become something different. Now, I will tell you, the remez behind the psukim is that it's talking about nations of the world. That it's not referring to literally the animals, but that the nations of the world are going to change, where Russia all of a sudden will be hand in hand with North Korea making peace with, like, you know, people down south. I would assume that that's the other way. I mean, if, you know, if they ever get over the ankle surgeries, but, you know, it would be something like that, right? Where, you know, the Kim Jong Un surgery. So either way, Pesach Zion, Hupara Vadov Tirena, the cow and the bear will shepherd, they will graze together, Yaakov together. I'm sorry, Yirbitzu Yaldehen, they'll raise their young together, the cow and the bear. The Aryeh Kabakar Yochel Tavan, and the lion, like the ox, will eat straw. They'll be able to have that, and it'll all be gone. Everybody will be a vegetarian in some way, shape, or form. Yishiyasha yonek al-kur pasen. A young baby will nurse right by the hole of a viper. Dama'ura sit'oni gomol yado hadar. Right? The weaned one will reach his hand into the pit of a very dangerous adder. Lo yorevel ashkizu b'hoa hakar kachi. There will be no destruction nor anything evil in all of my holy mountain, Kimala Oris Deas Hashem, because the world will be filled with das. Kamayim Liyom Nechasim, it will fill up as the waters cover the ocean. That's what it's going to be. Das has the ability, you know what to do, and these animals will be filled with that das in that way. Mankind will be purged of any deficiency that they have, and all mankind will be able to do what they're supposed to do to cause perfection in the world. And that's the idea. Your knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be very much deeper, to where you don't have any sfeikos b'chlal. There's nothing to think of. There's no problems anymore. I always said that, I tell my kids that when Mashiach comes, the first thing I'm going to say is, you know, I'm going to say, like, so what's with the dinosaurs? I'm just curious. Like, what's with the dinosaurs? Explain it to me. Before Noah, was there a world that never existed? Tell me. Was the world 7 billion years old? Yeah, tell me. And I'm going to say, no. Javora already got older. My daughter's like, that's the first question you ask Mashiach, right? So I'm like, honey, I'm not going to care. There's no way I'm asking that question. You think I really care? The first question I have is about dinosaurs. It's a curious question, but it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, he's not going to be like, who cares?
Let's
be honest.
Jeff Harris goes,
see, I got you.
Triceratops over there with, like, a leash.
There's going to be a Tyrannosaurus Rex, like, sitting around behind you. Here's your pet. This is your pet. And you're going to be like, oh my gosh, thank you. Anyway, I want just a little bit more arms. Yes, I just heard. Yeah, I still don't agree with it.
I don't need the Pope's approval.
Yeah, nobody wants the Pope's approval. On that day, the child of Yishai, right, is going to raise a banner for all the other nations to come to him, right? All the goyim that want to know about God, that want to know what they have to do, they'll come through, right? And peace will be an honor to everybody. Meaning, it's not just going to be for the Jews. The other nations of the world can also not only be affected by it, but can be involved in this thing. And we want them to be around, to be able to have these types of things. We're asking them to be involved over here. On that day, Yosef Hashem Shenis Yadu Lignos Sharamo. On that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to raise out his hand, he's going to stretch out his hand to redeem the rest of his nation. Shayishor Me'ashur, Mimitzrayim, Mipatros, Mikush, Me'elam, Mishinor, Mechamas, Me'iayam. From these eight places, from the places where all the people were lost, from Assyria, from Egypt, from Patros, I don't know what that is, from Ethiopia, from Elam, from Shinor, which is around Babel, Hamas, right, which is Lebanon, the Lebanon area, and Iyayam, the sea islands, all around, all these people are going to have, everything is going to be perfectly fine, it will be absolute total, and it's really like a remnant as well. The same way that we've been saved from these generations, so too it's going to happen to them. But the banner is going to be raised to all the nations of Asim, so it's going to gather together all the lost ones of the nations of Nefutus, Yehuda, and those who are lost from Yehuda, Yekabetz, Ma'abar, Kapas, Ars, will be gathered from all four corners of the land, and it'll direct them to where they need to go. And by the way, that's the point of the banner. The flag is just to show them where to go, sort of like the Migdal bubble is supposed to be. Mistarkin is Ephraim. No longer will Ephraim be jealous. Even though Yosef HaTzadik thinks of himself as a king, Yosef HaTzadik wants to rule over what Yehuda had. That's the machlokis Yosef and Yehuda and Parshas Vayigash when they're fighting over Binyamin. They're fighting over the first king of Klal Yisrael, Shaul HaMelech. There's a fight between them. No longer will Ephraim be around.
Mashiach
ben Yosef. Well, that's exactly it. Even Mashiach ben Yosef, the Kinas Ephraim will be gone. The enemies of Yehuda, anybody who's an enemy of Yehuda for whatever reason, they'll all be cut off. Ephraim will count as Yehuda, Yehuda will yell to us Ephraim. Ephraim will no longer be jealous of Yehuda. Yehuda will no longer harm Ephraim. And think that they're there. They won't worry about what's happening. The Afu Bekase Plishtim. They will chase the Plishtim Yama to the west. Now that's an interesting call, by the way. As a side note, there are no Plishtim today. The Philistine nation that once existed in that area no longer exists. The Palestinians that are there are not the Philistines. They're a totally different nation. They worship different gods. They do totally different things.
Yeah, but so, I mean, you worship different gods. Islam only came up way up well after.
But that's what I mean. The Plishtim that we know of are gone. So this
no
line,
just
exactly, they have found that way. But the Plishtim are gone. So now, and the Raya, by the way, the Plishtim were from Chum. The Plishtim were black. If they weren't black, they were extremely close to being black. They were not Ishmaelim, which the Palestinians are. They were a different nation altogether. They were brothers with Mitzrayim, as opposed to brothers of whatever. I don't mean the brotherhood, you know. Which is a brotherhood. But Yoma Yatzav, they'll go chase to the west together. Yavozu is B'nai Kadim, they will loot all the people of the east, which is interesting. Yeah. They will chase all the people of the east, which seemingly would refer to not just the Ishmaelim, but India and the Asians as well, right? Edom, Moab, Mishloach, Yadom, B'nai Amon, Mishmatom. Edom, Moab, and Amon will all be subdued. They're not going to be able to do anything more. That's going to be there. Now, we know that Lasid Lava, we're going to get three other nations. I mean, we have the area, the Jews will have, they had the nation of seven nations, the land of seven nations, meaning the Canaan, the Perizzim, the Yebusim, the Chiv, and the Chiti, Girgashi, and whatever else, the Amori, I think I'm missing the Amori, Perizzim, Yebusim, I don't really know, whatever I didn't say, right, those seven nations, and Lasid Lavo, that's supposed to be the seven, you know, so to speak, of the ten spheros, Lasid Lavo, we get the extra three spheros, the Chochma, Bina, and Das, which is Edom, Amon, and Moab, we'll get those lands, meaning our land of Israel is going to include all the way down through the Sinai Peninsula, etc., all the way to the east of Jordan and parts of Saudi Arabia, all the way up by Syria and Lebanon. That entire area becomes part of Eretz Yisrael.
Edom and Ammon and Moab were on the Jordan.
Edom is extremely close to Eilat and that area around.
Yeah, but Sinai is the other way direction.
No, if Eilat is right there, the Sinai Peninsula is right there. Right, right, the Red Sea is right there. Edom is right there. It's the whole area. Now, I know, in some of the old maps, they have Edom as going like that toward the Saudi Arabian side.
Yeah, no, in the Torah even, where it was Nabra, Nabra, they're on that side of the Jordan. They're about to go into Eretz Yisrael. They just have to keep going further.
Well, they went up, but they were a big nation. And Seir was there as well. And there were two parts. Edom had taken over Seir. It's a large area. And it includes even the Sinai Peninsula, because we're going to go all the way to the River of Egypt.
Really?
And that River of Egypt
all
is going to
for the last 40 years. I was like, can we go through your land?
Well, no. There was a specific point of the land of Edom, as opposed to his whole area. It's sort of like going through, you know, like Nebraska when you really, you're asking, you know, Lincoln, Nebraska, when you're asking, can we go through Chicago? You know what I'm saying? Like, there were parts of Edom that were not inhabited. They were just desert area that they ruled over. Yeah.
So we give them less land, but why? Like, what are we going to do with it? How are we going to populate it?
We're going to have, with Tchias HaMeisim, as well as the Jews being able to extract, and as well as the Gerim,
coming on the back,
it's going to be a lot.
Man.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot. And the land's going to stretch out also. I mean, it's going to be awesome. The Hakrim HaShem is will show Yam Mitzrayim. God will then destroy right the area. This is a really crazy puzzle, you should know. The area of the Yam of Mitzrayim, the Sea of Mitzrayim. Now, I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's the second part of the Red Sea, the part of the Red Sea that we crossed over, meaning Kriyas Yamsuf, or if this refers to the southern part of the Mediterranean Sea. I don't know what that means, but Hashem is going to destroy that area. The Hainit Yadu Al Anar Bayom, Bayom Rucho. He's also going to go up. He's going to wave his hand at the Euphrates River with his mighty wind, the Kol Shiva Nachlin, and he's going to turn it into seven streams. The Euphrates River will turn into seven streams, perhaps with this river of Mitzrayim as well. Maybe it's the Nile. The Hidrach Bana'olin. And people will tread upon it with shoes. In other words, there is going to be a split literally another Kriyas Yamsuf that is going to happen for us. Now, the Arizal takes it even further. That although obviously Arizal was not in the time of America, America wasn't discovered yet. Even if we would have known something about it, they say, right, based on what he says, that we're going to have the same thing. That I know we say eagle wings, right? We're going to go on them, and then they say planes, etc. But there may be a split all the way through that goes that with this, the biblical Israel borders.
Yeah.
Okay, but they are going to go through straight through the Atlantic Ocean, and we're going to have a spot that goes where we're going to be able to walk through Kriyas Yamsuf, but a Kriyas Ocean all the way through. There will be a path for the rest of the nation. Actually, Yisharim Ashur, those who remain in Assyria, Kesher Haisal, Yisrael, B'yamalos, Meritzarim, the same way there it was when they went out from the time. It's going to be a crazy Kriya.
Is this necessarily talking about a supernatural phenomenon? Because
it certainly seems that way, but
it seems that way. But it also could just be a way of you know, leveraging other natural phenomena.
Let's say it that way. The same way that the eagle wings would be an airplane. Yeah.
Like,
first of all, I want my eagle wing. That's number one. If I'm getting up there and they feel like, no, I meant a plane. No.
You'll fly.
I want my eagle. No. I want an actual eagle, and I want it to have a saddle. And I already said it's going to be like the never-ending story. You know, he's riding on whatever that dragon thingy, the luck dragon. That's what I'm going to have. Okay, Parak Yud Beis.
What about a hippogriff? Would you settle for one of those?
Sure. You can get me one. Parak Yud Beis, Pasuk Aleph. You're going to stand that day. Otcha Hashem. I got to thank you, Hashem. Ki anaftavi, because you have you've taken care of me, right? You've taken care of your anger on me. Ki ashovav kos nachameini. Your anger has subsided. You have consoled me. Now, this is the idea. You look back. You look at it, and you're now in the times of Mashiach, and everything's awesome. You look back at what happened right before that, the wars and whatever it is. You're like, you know what? I understand. That needed to happen in order to get to the point that we're at today. We don't understand it now because we're still in the midst of nothing. But at the time, you're going to look back, you're going to be like, this all had to make sense. You needed that anger. You needed that all that in order to refine us, to make us better, to create a better people. I understand that a little bit now. That's what it should be. The law of God. You may know this line. You may have said it before in your life. Behold, God is my salvation. I'm going to trust Him. The law of God, I'll never be afraid. Because my strength and all of my song is God. Hashem, and that is Hashem, by Yili Lishuan, He will be my salvation. And literally, we're going to sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all about what it is. We're going to have an Oz Yashir. It's going to be a brand new Oz Yashir. A brand new song that's going to sound awesome, and everybody's going to know the words, and we're going to get up and we're going to sing together. I don't care if you're tone deaf, it's still going to be awesome. We're going to get up and we're going to all do it at the same time. And we will draw waters from those wellsprings of salvation with so much happiness. There's going to be an outpouring of ecstasy, spiritual ecstasy, that we're going to sit there, we're going to look at it, we're going to be like, this is unbelievable. And every single person will not just be affected by it. Every person will sit there and be like, we need more. We want more. You're going to want and desire to do so much. You're going to say on that day, Hodu Hashem, Kiru Bishmo, thank God, call out in His name, Hodiyo Bamim Alilosa, tell over to all the nations all of His great deeds, has Kiru Kiniskav Shmo, mentioned because His name is so exalted. Zamul Hashem Ki Geus Asah, sing to God because He does splendors, Mudas Zos Bechalart, allow this to be known throughout the entire land, and that's what's going to be. Tzali Baroni Yoshevet Zion, sing out loud and rejoice, the people who live in Zion, Ki Gadol Bekirbo Kadosh Yisrael, because the Great One is among you, the Holy One of Israel. And that's going to be the song that we sing at that time. I'm just going to write down that idea of the song right there. Okay. That is the end of Mashiach, I believe. Yeah. Now, brand new idea. He now turns, Yeshaya, turns over to the other nations of the world and says, now let's talk about you. Okay, Babel is going to destroy the nation. Now, I want you to think for a second when Yeshaya is living. Yeshaya is doing the first Beis HaMikdash. The first Beis HaMikdash about 150 years before the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. The first one. The first Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed by Babel. At the time, Babel was not a great nation. And in fact, it was literally an almost an impossible thought that they would come from so far away to destroy the Jewish people. They were nobodies as of yet. A Nebuchadnezzar had to get up and do something, right? And when they wanted to take over, Nebuchadnezzar seemed to be on almost a vendetta to go against Eretz Yisrael, because that was his ikar conquering. He really did only destroy Eretz Yisrael. There were other nations, but his real conquering was Eretz Yisrael. It's as if Babel wanted to come along. And Yeshaya says, listen guys, you destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and I agree, that's going to happen. But nonetheless, you should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish you for it. You're not going to get out of it as if nothing just happened, as if you were just doing God's word. You will be taken down for what you just did. So here we go. Masa Babel. The prophecy of Babel is Rav Yeshayahu ben Amoz, the Yeshayahu ben Amoz, the one that just spoke the words of consolation and Mashiach for all the nations of the world. He is now speaking of the destruction of all the other people in the world, and that's that. Even though, okay, so we're going to see that. Al Harnishbe Seunes, on a very tall mountain, you're going to raise a banner. Harimu Kol, you're going to call out loud, Lahem, to all of them. Hanifu Yad, you'll wave your hand, Yabol Pischa Nedivin, and they'll come to the doorways of the wealthy. And he see Vesin Lukuda Shai, right? Gam Karasi Giborai, La'ap Yalize Gavasi. I have commanded my holy ones, right? And I have called upon my strong ones to execute my anger, right? They are going to be happy, right, once I tell them what to do. Now this is what's going to be. Kadosh Baruch Hu was calling out loud to Madai and Paras. It's time for Mede and Persia to take over and to destroy what Babel was. Now we all remember, let's just do a little historical analysis here. Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babel for 45 years. We, in Jewish subjects, are not aware of a Babylonian king before Nebuchadnezzar. Certainly there was. I'm sure that somebody will be able to figure out who it was by going through, you know, the annals of history. But Nebuchadnezzar was the one that we know. He was king for 45 years. Part of it, he was out of the kingdom, etc. Evel Merodach was the next king for the next 23 years. Belshazzar, the father of Vashti, was the king for 3 years. In that third year is when he took out the Kalim of the base. Mikdash, that night he was killed by Cyrus the First and Darius the First, who took over the kingdom, and they were the ones next. Kores was first king, and then Darius, and after Darius, we all know, came... Come on, Cyrus, then Darius, Ahasuerush. Then came Darius the Second, who was the one that allowed us finally to go back after what we call 70 years altogether. But that's the idea of what happened over here, okay? So now here we go. It says that I am going to call out my strong ones, you know, to revel in what they're doing to come along. Now the reason why Pars and Madai were considered good people in this regard is that Pars and Madai had nothing against the Jews. Pars and Madai were willing to let the Jews rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Cyrus gave them the original idea to go back and to build the foundations. Ahasuerus stopped it. He sent out the fitna, right, the hate letter from Daniel, that you should stop building it. But his son, Darius II, who was possibly Jewish, allowed them to rebuild it. Paras and Madai were a good nation at times to Bnei Yisrael, to allow them to do what they did. Dawit. Kolam al Baharis.
The predecessor was Nebuchadnezzar.
Nebuchadnezzar? That's crazy.
His father.
His father. It was Nebuchadnezzar's father. How long? Did it say how long? I'm just saying, you didn't get that from a phone or anything. not a piece of measures or anything.
His father reigned from 626 before the Common Era to 605 before the Common Era.
So it's 21 years.
Yeah.
And then Nebuchadnezzar reigned from 605 to 562.
Oh, that's a long time. Yeah, that works out. That's like 45 years, basically. It's 43 years, exactly. But that's fine, because whenever Chazal give numbers, it goes like, it could be like a month into the year. It could be like that.
It's not 45.
45. Yeah, that's pretty good. But again, it could be 43. And a month here, a month there, etc. Okay, Kol Hamon Baharin. A tumultuous noise is heard in the mountains. Right? Demus Amrav. It looks like a huge nation. Kol Sha'on Namlechos Gaim. A long, the thronging noise of kingdoms of nations that are gathered by God. He's appointing them as his army. They come from a faraway land, from the edges of the sky. Hashem, God and his weapons of anger to destroy the entire land. Now, that means that literally HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is involved in the Persian and Mede war against Babel. He is going to be there and he's going to lead the army. That it's not going to be Persian Mede. Really, it's Hashem that's involved through the emissaries, through the shluchim of Paras and Madai. Hey, Lilu, cry out loud, Bubble. Ki karov yom Hashem. That day of God is very close. Kishod mishadai yavo. It is a disaster from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is going to come. I want you to think again. Yeshayah is saying this line. Yeshayah is saying this out. Bubble was nobody. We're literally talking about nobody's. Had no clue what was going on. It's such a pella. Al kain ko yadayim terpana. All hands are going to be weakened. Kol avenu shimos. Their hearts are going to melt. panicking. They're going to be seized by convulsions, and they're going to be grabbed by trembling. Like a woman giving birth, they're going to tremble at each other. Right? They're going to be shocked at one another. Their faces are going to be filled with flames. It's totally unexpected. Paras and Madai was an unexpected war, but it's not going to be, it's going to paralyze them. They're not going to know what to do. Again, if Belshazzar was making a party that night and had over all the sarum and all the whatever it was, and Paras and Madai fought that night, if they were worried about impending war, he wouldn't have made a party in the kingdom with all the leaders and the officers sitting in the same room. You don't do that. That's a dumb thing to do. So, Pasuk test. Hine Yom Hashem Bo, the day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming, Achzori, it's going to be cruel. The Evra of HaKaron Af, there's going to be anger and there's going to be Charon Af, Lassum Aretz L'Shama, to knock down the Lame HaKatoel, Yashmi Menor, to destroy all the wicked people upon it. Kichok V'Hashemayim K'sei Lame Lo Yahilu Oram, the stars of the heavens and all the constellations will not shed their lights. Chosach Hashem B'Tzeitz V'Yarech Lo Yegia Oro. The sun will not come out in the morning. The moon will not give out its light. Now, here's the shot over here. The people were looking up at the sky, and they were seeing in the future, and they were saying from their constellations, whatever they knew out about astrology, they looked up at the sky, and they said, wait, that's not true. That's not what it says up here. The stars say it's something different. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am going to change every single constellation. I'm going to ruin the stars and the sun and the moon and the sky. I'm going to make it in such a way, you're not going to have any clue what's happening. And it's going to be destroyed from them. So you're seeing it as if it's not going to happen. The same way that Paro looked up at the stars and saw Ki Ra Hotziyam, you're going to go out in a star of Ra and you're all going to be killed, right? That's what Paro saw himself, right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, I can change everything in 1 second. That's what I'm going to do. And this is Farsha, right? Where Avraham Avinu said, I can't have a kid. He said, you're right, but stop it. You're not going to have a kid. But Avraham, I can switch things around, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Fakarti al tevo Ra'a. I'm going to meet upon the earth, upon Babel, all this evil, and all their sins, I'm going to knock down all the very, very arrogant people, knock them down, right? I am going to make humans more dearer than gold, I'm going to make man scarcer than the kesem ophir, meaning the crowns of ophir, which were filled with jewels and whatever it is. In other words, there's going to be so few people left in the main cities of Babel, you're going to wonder what happened. And that's when the capital was moved, because obviously the capital of Babel was not in Shushan. Shushan is in the area of Paras and Madai. The original capital was in probably Baghdad or whatever city it was back then. And it was moved because everybody was destroyed and everybody was gone. That's the idea behind it. We'll see that Belshazzar is going to have his head cut off completely. But that's what's going to be over here. And we all know, by the way, this is Midah Kenegamida. They were cruel to the Jews, so therefore God was cruel back. Alkein Shamayim Argiz V'Sirash. Therefore, I'm going to frustrate the heavens. V'Sirash Aretz, and the land is going to quake. Mimkom Be'Avos Hashem Tzalkos V'Yom Charon upon that day of anger altogether. Now, I don't know what this means, but apparently there was a massive earthquake after Belshazzar was killed, and all the buildings in Babel that were not already destroyed by the people, the Persians and Medes that came in, were all knocked down by the earthquake. So that earthquake took care of all the survivors and killed all of them as well. By Kitzvi Mudah, the way that a deer is pursued, a kitzon, the Ein Mekabeit, right? Like abandoned sheep that have nobody gathering them in, Yishal Mo Yifnu, they're going to turn to their nation, Yishal Tzad Yanusu. Those people are living in Babel who were from other lands, ran back to their lands because they said there's nothing left for us here. Kol Hitzi Yidok here, anybody who's remaining will be stabbed. Anybody who's trying to get protected is going to fall by the sword. Their little kids will be smashed in front of their eyes. Their houses are going to be plundered. Their wives are going to be slept with. All of those things are going to happen. And really, it's going to be for ownership. They cruelly murdered little kids when they came into Mitzrayim, as the Gemara says in Gittin and Bav, that they took, I forgot how much it was, 40,000 kids, and they smashed their brains against one rock. They took all those children. Same thing will happen to them. They plundered all the homes of the Jews, therefore their houses are going to be plundered. They took wives and took them with them to Babel. Their wives will be raped in their presence, and then they will be killed. That's what's going to be over here. And this is the funny part. The funny part is that normally a conquering nation takes all the money and grabs everything and then goes. Paras and Madai will take nothing. It's going to be almost as if they don't want to even take the money of Babel. They're going to destroy it and then leave it as is. Yerushalayim. He mean Meir Aleim as Madai Asher Kesem Lo Yachshov V'Zov Lo Yachbot Bo. I'm going to bring the Madai who don't care about silver and they could care less about gold. They don't want it whatsoever. That's the pshat behind it. Ukshotos Ne'orim Nitarashno. The young boys will be smashed by the bows. In other words, they won't even be hit by arrows. They're going to smash their bows against them. Pribetan L'Rechem, they will have no mercy on the little kids. Albanalos L'Useinam, there will be no compassion on anybody whatsoever. Bubble Tzvi Mamlachos. Bubble, which had been the most beautiful of all nations. I'm just saying again. See the word Tzvi? Just think of beauty. Tzitharis Ge'on Kasdian. The pride and joy of all the Kasdians. Ma'pechas Olim Esdom Esmor. It's going to look like Sodom and Amora again after that earthquake we just talked about.
Now, does somebody going to have to punish Paras Amore for doing this, and somebody going to punish that nation for doing that to them, and so on and so forth?
Good call. No, I think the only official punishments are those who do the cruel things to the Jews. But Paras Amadai, although they are punished for acting
evil. Did he was cruel towards Mitzrayim and towards, you know what we just said?
I think we're only saying because of the punishment that they meted out to the Jews. That's how they're being punished. But I don't know. I'm sure there's something given to Paras Amadai because no non-Jew can be cruel. Right? That's part of Eber Minachai. You can't act cruelly. So I'm sure something was given. But nonetheless, well, we are going to see Paras Amadai are going to be destroyed as well. And so might as well get there. Right. They don't last.
No, but you had that the mission in Pirkei Avot where they saw the skull in the water, and he says the reason he's in the water is because he did it to somebody. The person who did it to him is going to help him.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's Jews, though. I don't know if that applies to non-Jews.
Why?
You assume, yes.
Why wouldn't it?
Not the same punishments. I don't know. That I don't know.
Murder is murder, whether somebody's...
It's true. But there are certain... let's just say, if it's not part of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, for whatever reason,
no, but here
they're not held. Yeah, we are held for that.
No, but all these things are part of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Cruelty, murder. Yeah. We're talking about serious crime. We're not talking about violating Shabbos.
I hear you. You know what? To be honest with you, it really would deal, and you just said stealing. It depends on what the definition of Geneva is. What is the halacha of Geneva by a situation of war? When a Kodesh Baruch Hu allows there to be a war or allows a war, is there such a thing? I'll give you a raya. You've all done brachos, right? We've all done brachos. The Gemara brings down what David HaMelech said when they didn't have enough money in the system to be able to feed through the system. They went to David HaMelech and they asked him what to do. What is it? Gimel and Beis, or Gimel and Beis and brachos. Right? And they asked him what to do, and David HaMelech says, so, l'chu pashi yideichem bigdud. Go take a troop, go take an army, and go fight another nation. So, again, this is David HaMelech, the chassid of all times, who's going around and taking away money from other people. Why is that mutter? So I don't know if that's in the category of stealing when you're fighting nations, but I don't know. I have no idea. Literally, the concept of war, warring nations in order to gain, which was such a norm back then, is not our norm today.
Right, but
I don't know.
But, it's one thing to fight when you gain, but another thing, once you won the war, to kill people.
Just cruel.
Even in the Navi, so that Elisha didn't allow it in the Torah. The Torah says, kill them,
right,
the male. Let the women and children go.
So let's make the assumption that Paras and Madai, for anything that they were extra cruel about that they didn't need to be, were punished. We can make that assumption that there was some type of punishment. Was it as badly as Bubba was punished for killing the Jews? Maybe not, but there was something that happened to Paras and Madai. But let's see, I don't have an answer to that question. Listen, somebody just asked me a question. A guy from, what's that school in London? The famous
London school?
No.
Cambridge?
It's a Jewish school. Jewish high school.
Oh.
Famous, but 1,200 kids.
Hasmo.
Yeah, Hasmo. So Hasmo, a guy, one of the teachers there sent me questions all the time. This guy wrote a question. He wrote it to the chief rabbi of England, right? And
the new one,
the guy, the teacher just said to me, he sent me the letter and he said, listen, this is what this guy wrote. What would you say? It's a great question. I'm going to leave it for you. I'm not going to answer the question. He said, how can I believe in a God that believes that you have to kill somebody in order, if a person does something bad, that you need to kill, that a person needs to be killed? If a person makes a mistake and does a chait, that person has to be killed. And that's the law. Yeah, just stop. I can answer it. I'm just saying, like, think of where the guy's coming from, right? Of our world, of what we are today and whatever it is, and you look at the Torah and just all you see is war, battle, bloodshed, stealing, whatever. Look at Parsha. Avraham Avinu is the greatest Baal Chassid of all time, right? He fought against four kings and destroyed everyone. You mean to tell me there wasn't one tzaddik among them?
You know, I don't think it's a question, though, is coming from you know, Avram fighting a war. Avram's in a fighting in a war, and a war people get killed. That's part of being in a war.
I think his question is, and I
a man of Avram in his mind is a chassidic man.
But I'm not. I don't think he's. I don't think his question is coming from that. His question is coming from Chal Shabbos, Mos Yomas. All these different things in the Torah where it says
he's like specifically mentioned Arias. But you're right. You're right. You're probably something from that as well. I just want you to think about the question. It's a great question. So you got to answer that question for yourself. You can't let that go. So whatever. Okay. Anyway, at the end of the day, Lo Seishiv Lenetzach, Lo Seishko Nador Vador. It will not be inhabited forever, nor is it going to be dwelled in at all times. No Bedouin tent, Arab is going to pitch his tent there. Shepherds will not go there. You know what's going to be there? Beasts are going to live there. Mola Batayim Ochim. It's going to fill. It's going to be filled with desert owls. Okay, I don't know what desert owls are. I'm not so sure what that refers to. Shachnu Sham Benoziana. Ostriches will live there, although it's clearly probably not ostriches because ostriches never lived in the Mediterranean area, but something like that, maybe jackals. Usiri Niraktu Sham, and the demons will dance there. That's how we know the demons are commonly found in areas where there's desolation or destruction. The Anaim Balmanosav, the Iim will sit, I think these are just wild cats, are going to be around in their palaces. Vesanim Behekle Oneg, there will be snakes, some say, you know, like jackal or hyenas in their Hekle Oneg where they used to have pleasure. The Karov Lavoita, this time will come soon, the Amaloi Mashehu. The years of bubble will not take very long. As we see elsewhere, it's going to be 70 years altogether that bubble will be there. Now is a specific Nebuah regarding Nebuchadnezzar. Parak Yudal is on Nebuchadnezzar. Hirakam Hashem is on Yaakov. God is going to have mercy on Yaakov. Bachor will be Israel. He will choose the Israel again. Minicham al Masa will put them back in their land. Minova Ger Aleihem. Gerim will come to them in Isbukal Beis Yaakov. They'll be added on to the house of Yaakov. Likely, this is the times of Korates and when the Beis Hamikdash is being rebuilt. Not Mashiach, but the times when Korates allows them back and when Darius II eventually allows them back. This is what's going to happen at that time. Lukahum Amim. Nations will take them. That Yuma Makom will bring them to their place. He's Nakalum Beis Yisrael and Mas Hashem. And Ben Israel will take them as slaves on the land of Hashem. They will capture their captors. And they will subdue those people that are subjugators. Meaning the Babylonians will be sent by the Persians and the Medes to work as slaves for Ben Israel in the Beis Hamikdash. The people that were sent in were now going to be totally different people. When HaKadosh Baruch will relieve you from all your sadness, from your anger, from the hard work that he has done for you, meaning when you'll be over with Golos, then you're going to tell over this prophecy to the king of Babel, and you'll say, how was the oppressor terminated? In other words, how did everything happen where everything ended and the land of gold was rested? Now it's gone. How did that happen? Don't you see this was called 200 years ago, way before you guys came to power, way before you guys were destroyed. But we knew about this all the way then. HaKadosh Baruch Hu broke down the rod of the evil, Shevet Moshlin, those who were in charge, Mak Amin Be'Eperes Makas, built Sarah. He knocks down the nation with anger, right? With a maka that does not turn away. Roda ba'ab goyim murda b'lichosach. He's going to pursue them with rage relentlessly in order to make sure that the punishment that they are supposed to get is going to them. The land will then become quiet and everybody will break out in song. Nobody liked Babel. Nobody liked them. As you just said before, Babel was cruel to everyone. Nobody liked being around Babel, so everyone's going to think I'm Baroshim, some fool to call. The cypresses, the cedars of Lebanon, they're going to end up and they're going to say, ever since you died, no one's been able to cut us down. They're all going to say, nothing's going to happen. When Nebuchadnezzar died, everyone was happy. Everyone was happy. It could be, obviously, the cedars and the cypresses refers to leaders of other nations. And somehow, it's referring to people that were there at the time. So, like, finally, ding dong, the witch is dead. Yeah, that thing, right? Happy. All the little guys. So only Tatas Russia, right? I wanted to say, the Wizard of Oz, the muscle. Sha'ol mitachas rugza l'cha. Sha'ol underneath. You guys listen to this. Death itself feared you coming in. The graves were worried. Nebuchadnezzar, he was so evil and so awesome in this world, in Olam Hazeh. What's he going to be like in death? Is he going to rule over death?
death? Is he like death's right hand man? Lakoli Kras Boefa. It arises you. It's going to come to you. They're going to be there. Oru Lakol Refoyim. The sleeping giants will get up. Koatude Oretz. All the rulers of the earth, Hakim Mikisos and Komal Vibayim, all the kings of the nation, right, will be raised from their thrones. This is their thrones in Gehenna. They'll all get up to greet Nebuchadnezzar as he comes in. As if, you know, like we say when you go up to Olam Haba, there's like the greeters up there and say like, oh, Baruch Hashem, you learned so much Torah, you did this, you did that, whatever it is. They have their own greeters down there. And it's like blackened, you know, not, don't get me wrong, okay, but blackened with soot faces, right, of people that are charred to a crisp.
We're coming out and saying, hey, thanks for coming.
We're going around.
It seems like it's so bad, everyone's going to like give him kavod, meaning in the exact opposite way that he's coming.
Yeah, pretty much, to show that he's absolutely, it's not much unbelievable. And it says, they're going to say, Hakim Mikisot, the guns that says in Pasuk Yud, Kulam Yanu, they're all going to get up, the Yomu Elech, and they're going to say to you, Gamatel Fulayso, hey, so you died also, huh? Kamonu Elenu Nimshalta, just like us. You're compared to us now. I see. I get it. Now you're going to, you died just like we did. Hurach Sha'ol Gonach, your pride has been brought down to the grave. Hem Yas Nivalecha Taktecha, right? You're, this is mamish unbelievable. Hem Yas Nivalecha, the sound of your harps, Taktecha, is now gone for you. You're never going to hear your harps ever again. Yutza Rima, you're going to be spread over with maggots. Umechatzecha Toleya, you'll be covered with worms. I never knew you were mortal, he said to Nebuchadnezzar. I always thought you were some sort of godlike creature that was able to do things because you were so cruel. You were able to do things that nobody else was able to do. Turns out you're just human. You're a human and you died like the rest of us and you got nothing good from all the work that you did in this world. You got nothing. Halo ben Shachar, how were you able to fall from the heaven all the way down here, the one who's up in the morning star, so to speak? You were cut down to the ground, the one who put lateralists on the nations. And who should I destroy next? The one who did that. You said that in your heart, you told yourself, I'm going to climb up to Shemayim Mimal. I'm going to raise my throne above the stars of heaven. The Eshit Bahar Moed, the Arkhtet Zavon. I'm going to dwell in the mountains all the way up, the Arkhtet Zavon, all the way in the north. I'm going to get up on the thickness of a cloud. I will compare myself and bring myself up to God. No, you went down to Gehenna. All the way to the pit's bottom. It sounds like a Dr. Seuss book almost. But that's the idea. Nebuchadnezzar thought, according to the Gemara of the Giga, that he could fight against God. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw him down and said, you know how long it takes for a person to die? Normally 70 years. And then it goes through how tall it is to the tops of the Chayos HaKodesh, of billions of years, of how many years it takes just to get, you know, of walking, to get to the Chayos HaKodesh, to get past the universe, so to speak, and to get there. It's like Nebuchadnezzar, there's no way you're going to live long enough to get anywhere near to be able to fight me or compare yourself to me. You thought you're like me? Did I confront with Nebuchadnezzar? You're a nobody. Giga, Yudalit, Hasvav, right around there, because it goes through all the numbers right there of how far, how long it takes to be able to get up that high. And remember, it could be Yud Gimel. Now that I'm thinking about it, it could be Yud Gimel, Yudalit, Hasvav, I'm an Aleph. On my Giga, I have like a list of the numbers right there.
How many millions of what? Billions of what years is it to get out of the universe?
You'd have to figure it out. Yeah, it's a real big, I mean, it's an unbelievable number. But again, the universe is expanding. It depends on how you walk, right? If you walk to that side of the universe.
But it's curved, so you end up just going in a circle.
Maybe there's a way out. Rolecha Elecha Yashkihu. Those who see you will gaze on you. Elecha Yisponu, they're going to think about you. Hazeah, Ish, Margiz, Arik, Marish, Mamlachos. This is the guy that anchored the land and knocked everything down. Some table come before. He made the whole world like a desert, but Arif Aras, he knocked down cities. He never sent home his prisoners. They're going to look at him. You know what, Sean? First of all, they're going to look at Nebuchadnezzar for what he really is, right? They're also going to see him. They're going to see Nebuchadnezzar was short. Short little guy. By the way, Napoleon was actually about 5'8", 5'10".
Was it really?
Yeah. You can probably look it up right now. He was really tall. He was actually pretty tall. I just read that not too long ago. Everybody thinks Napoleon Campbell, you're a small guy and you took over. Napoleon was a big guy. Nebuchadnezzar, though, was short. He's a very, very short guy. He was the guy. They look at him, they're just like, oh my gosh.
5'6".
5'6". Okay. But without, he's the guy. Platform shoes. Now they're like, this is the guy who's going to take over.
Is that like Kim Jong-un? Because he's got platform shoes too.
Does he really? Well, that's why he broke his ankle.
Yeah, Kim Jong-un also had like a nice...
Hey, he broke his ankle.
That's what happened. No, but he's also like the only overweight person.
He's short. He's the only one that eats.
Right.
Who was it? Sylvester Stallone? That I think he's like 5'5" or something like that. So every movie that he's in, he's up on a pedestal or they move the camera in such a way that he looks like he's the same height. The only time they didn't do it is in Rocky 3 or 4 when he fought that huge guy, the guy that was like 6'8" or something. They wanted to make the guy look even taller than he was. They had him at his normal height and it really looked like he was like 6'7" and he was what? 5'10"? No, it's not true.
I'm making stories.
No way. That's so strange. So maybe it's Tom Cruise?
Tom Cruise is short. He's like 5'8".
Thank you. But I always remember being so Stallone because it was the Rocky movies. That's what they did.
Maybe because he was boxing like big boxers who were taller.
So maybe all the guys were much taller. I remember it being him, though. Strange. Okay, you knew. But that's what you have Wikipedia for. I'm so proud of you. Okay.
I'm just saying it's not the worst thing in the world to get one of those facts wrong.
Yeah, this is the worst. All right, I'm okay with it. Koma. I can't remember. Okay, I'm going to look this up. Koma okay, goyim kulam shaklu bekavod ish bebeso. All the kings of the nations, they're going to rest in honor each man in his house. That's why Shlachim Mikibrachot, you have been thrown out of your grave, Kinatzer Nisav, like a scorned shoot, like a little weed. You were pulled out from over there. Levush Harugim, wearing the clothes of those that you killed, Mitoane Cherub, those that you killed by the sword, Yodel Abnebor, you go down to the pit's bottom, right, to the stones of the pit, Kithegr Muvas, like a trampled corpse. That's the idea behind it, that really you are going to be cast, I mean, this is what's going to happen. Nebuchadnezzar was going to be taken out of the grave. When Evel-Merodach became king, he was not positive that his father actually died. So he said, you know, I don't want to become king. This happened before. Evel-Merodach was brought up when Nebuchadnezzar was exiled. When Nebuchadnezzar came back, Evel-Merodach was thrown into jail. Evel-Merodach says, no, I'm not going to be king until you take my father's body out and I see that it's dead. They took the body out of the grave after they had already buried it, brought it in front of Evel-Merodach. Evel-Merodach stabbed it into little pieces, and then when he thought, okay, it must be, then they dragged his body back to the grave and they buried it again. And that was the punishment of Nebuchadnezzar's body. You're not going to be equal to them in burial. Because you destroyed lands and you knocked down nations. Therefore, your children will be gone forever. And that's what happened. After Belshazzar, there was nobody. Even though Vashti survived, Vashti never had any kids. They prepared for a slaughter of all the children. The Avodah wasn't because of their father. They will not get up and inherit the land. The world will then be filled with cities again. Because Nebuchadnezzar is gone, then other things are going to happen. Right? I will get up again. By the way, these are people from Babel that are willing to kill Nebuchadnezzar himself because of what Nebuchadnezzar did to them. Nebuchadnezzar was not any nicer to his own people. Right? He was more of a Kim Jong-un in his own nation. I will get up against them, says Hashem Tzvakos. I will destroy from Babel any other person there. I will make them into the home of kipod. Normally are like porcupines, but swamps, I guess. I will sweep them up with the sweepers of death. That's one of the words that the Chazal never knew in Rosh Hashanah. It mentions that one of the things that they never knew. But I will totally destroy them and everything will be gone. You know what's crazy? Even the coins will be changed. Those that have Nebuchadnezzar's face on them, even they will be destroyed, says Hashem. I'm telling you, whatever I say will be. Whatever I advise, that's what's going to happen. I'm going to destroy Assyria in my land. I will thrash them on my mountains. I'm going to turn away from the shoulders. This is the Eitz that I put upon the land. This is the hand that goes upon all the nations. He makes the advice. Me up there, who's going to take that away? His hand is outstretched. Who's going to turn it away? Now stop for a second over here. Now we're going to talk about Chizkiah fighting the Pelishtim. When the king Achaz died, this parable came out, this prophecy came out. Don't be happy, Pelishtim, because you were were the people who were able to fight against Achaz and rule over many cities. Kulet kinish bar shevet makeh. Rejoice not because of the shevet that destroyed you is now broken. Kinishorish nachash yeket tzapa, because a snake will give birth to a very dangerous adder. Upirio serap no faith. And its roots, its feet, are going to be like a flying snake. That's a reference to Chizkiyo HaMelech and the power that he's going to have. Rov HaKori Dalin, those who are poor leaders, they're then going to graze up. Yonah Levetach, your butts, the destitute, are going to pasture. I will destroy all of your kids and anything you have. Plishim are going to be gone. And during the times of Chizkiyo, the Plishim will literally be destroyed. Hey, Lili, Shar Zakiir. Hey, Lili, Shar, cry at the gate. Zakiir, scream in the city. Namok Peleshes. Peleshes is gone. Kulei Kimi Tzapon Ashon Ba. There's a smoke coming out from the north. Ve'ich Bodid B'moda'ov. Right? What will all the people report? Mayan HaMalachi HaGoyim. That Mayan HaMalachi HaGoyim Ki Hashem Yisod Tzion. Hashem has founded Tzion. Now what are all the other nations going to say? U'Kol Yachsu Ani Yamo. And now all the poor people will be able to sit there in it. And the news of the day will be that Plishim are now destroyed. That the Plishim is now gone. So we got Bubble down. We got Plishim gone. That's what we have over here. We're now in Pesach Parak Chesvav. We're up to Moab. Okay.